1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0.
Never been done before.
We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. We haven't talked to him in a minute. He's been on sabbatical and working on his book and the whole nine, but we had to get him after last night's marathon speech, the State of the Union. And I know that many people who can see the egregious injustice and the harsh policies that are being pushed by this current administration probably didn't watch the State of the Union, had no need to, probably felt like it's going to be more of the same. But nevertheless, in these moments, it's probably important to get a breakdown of what was said, what was not said, to get an understanding of where things are headed, what took place, if for any reason, just for the record. And somebody who had endured it last night, because that's what he does as a political analyst, as somebody who has written books on this and teaches, I think you're now the chair. So congratulations. He's now the chair of his department over at UCSF. We're talking about Dr. James Taylor. Dr. Taylor, welcome back to the show. And, you know, last night is a lot. You were shaking your head as we were talking, but you endured it, as you said. What do we need to know about last night that really stood out to you?
I feel like the Leonardo DiCaprio character in that movie Don't Look Up with Tyler Perry in it, when he says the president of the United States is out of his effing mind, you know, or lying. It's unfortunate because the way Donald Trump presented himself prior to the State of the Union address undermined anything that he could have said a positive in terms of trying to bring people together. He has no intention to bring people together. It's almost like Abraham Lincoln's opposite. Trump, I called elsewhere, the un-Abraham Lincoln. Like he's doing the opposite of Lincoln in terms of trying to divide the country rather than trying to keep the House from dividing. And the sad thing is he was long on grievance and long on entertainment. Like it was almost like, let's make a deal. You know, with Monty Hall back in the day, Trump was just giving out awards to everybody at the inappropriate time. It was all white. Everybody he recognized was white. And Donald Trump has just come out right now and acting like he's an overt white supremacist. And that's, the country's still in denial about that, but Black people have never been in denial about that. He had no plans. Except a $1,000 401k plan for people who don't have a retirement plan through their job. Like, what's a $1,000 what's a $1,000 account gonna do for anybody? It's insane how out of touch this man is when it comes to affordability and cost of living, and he calls it a hoax. So again, long on polemics, short on policy, long on grievance, and the country had to endure a record-long speech that I sat here and it literally was like as if the TV fell asleep as Donald Trump kept going on, because there was just no dynamism anywhere in the atmosphere.
I think at this point, Dr. James Taylor, our guest, we understand that a key part of this president and his administration's ethos, so to speak, is to distract, is to say outlandish things, do outlandish things, so that that becomes the conversation. And I think the quick fix to that, or the quick reaction to that, is that that is being done to keep attention away from the Epstein files. I don't think that's why it's being done. I think it's being done so that we don't really dig deep into the allegations of voter fraud and the reaction around it. I think it's being done so that people don't really dig deep into the fact that The U.S. has been buying up all these plots of land that they're going to make into some sort of refugee camp. And the question becomes, who's going to be filling those camps? And I think it's done so people don't really take seriously the threats that he's made to sitting elected officials, people that are living in the cities, who he says is one of the causes of our problems. The response from the Democrats seems woefully, short. They react more to the distractions and say pleasantries more than I hear them getting to the nuts and bolts. So saying that Donald Trump is corrupt is like saying water's wet. Saying that
Right.
Donald Trump is racist at this point is like saying water's wet. What about the policies and people that he's putting in position? We didn't hear anything about the massive surveillance state. Palantir and all those things. We didn't hear the relationship with the Peter Thiels. He did mention J.D. Vance being the person to lead the charge on the war on fraud, and I think that should be something that we perk up. And the relationship that he has with Israel is very disturbing, and that's something that I think has slowed down the Democrats. Why? Because they have a relationship with Israel too. So. In
Yeah.
fact, let me just say one thing, and you can also comment on this. I'm just looking at the scuttled DMC report, the autopsy that they didn't release. So, there are copies of it running around. They say Kamala Harris lost because of the policies
Yeah.
around Israel.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Dems would not put that out shows that they're still beholden
Yeah.
to aspects of that regime. So I'll let you have it, but that's what I took away from a
You
lot of
start
this.
you start with Chuck Schumer and his staunch pro-Israel policies, and then you have people like Cory Booker and the other brother,
Hakeem
Hakeim Jeffries.
Jeffries.
People are taking money from AIPAC. Jasmine Crockett is rejecting it, and there's a lot of, in fact, it's almost a litmus test now in terms of the divide amongst Democrats. There's a division amongst Republicans. And there's a division amongst Democrats, separate from their division against each other. And the Democrats basically have a war going on between the Bernie wing and what, for lack of a better term, is the old Clinton wing, the centrist wing of the party. The Republicans are fighting between the extremes, who could be more extreme? The people with nooses, in their offices and Confederate flags in their offices. And there are plenty of people in Washington, D.C., with Confederate flags and little hidden nooses, because this is the sentiment. And so it seems to me that when you look at Thiel and Musk and everyone around Trump, it's almost like, their paradise is lost. This imagined middle class white suburban lifestyle from the 19. From the 1950s, that Trump is longing for the 1950s. These white folk want the 1950s to come back because they have already repudiated Martin King, they've repudiated Lyndon Johnson, and they've repudiated FDR. That's the goal of Reaganism and Trumpism. FDR was like Michael Jordan amongst presidents. And until they undo FDR, it's like Jordan. Can LeBron ever surpass him? Probably not in most of our old heads' heads, but that's what we're dealing with in this case, is the Democratic Party has sold out. It sold out when Reagan kept beating them for 12 years. Reagan and Bush turned the Democratic Party to a right-leaning party. It used to be FDR. Then it became Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, in spite of Obama, is still, and Biden, is still the dominant ideological personality in the party, because basically when he pivoted in 92 after the LA uprisings, Obama and Biden are not of a different cloth from Bill Clinton. They're safe centrists. They're big government, I mean, a big corporate, funded candidates. So we're at a point where I think, things have fallen apart for Donald Trump. And the idea is to, yes, like you said, keep distracting to avoid any talk about the Epstein files. But even if you say, yeah, Donald Trump is a racist like water is wet, there's new water in the Epstein files where they're talking about hunting black men and women with guns. And we know that's happened in the past.
Yeah, but let me just stop you there, Dr. Taylor, because I remember, you know, we did shows on that. I remember Dennis Bernstein from Flashpoints, you know, talking about these hunting trips that would happen. That's been going on for years. When you have a country where such a sizable population says, yeah, I hear that, don't care, I'm still rolling with it, and you have sizable people who, in theory, would be victim to that. You know, more than a few black folks, more definitely a lot of brown folks, who's like, yeah, I know that, but I'm still getting behind this. And they somehow do mental gymnastics to justify it. What does all that matter at the end of the day? We know that the people he's around and him himself are in the Epstein files. But no matter what, it's like, I'm still going to vote for him. And that's why I come back to, I know the Epstein files is a big deal, but it hasn't been a big deal enough to change political outcomes, at least not now. And if it does, maybe it's, God bless. But I'm talking about the other policies that we should be concerned about. What's going to happen when he takes over the election? What's happening with the expansion of ICE? What's happening with these concentration camps? That's not being spoken about, and that's not somebody being exaggerating or sensationalizing. These things are on the books right now, and that's not being talked about. That's going to affect me, you, and your neighbor down the block, you know, in theory and probably in reality. So your thoughts with respect to that? That's what I think the distraction is, because I didn't hear any sort of response to make us feel better.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? To say, you know what? I see you, Dr. Taylor. I see you, David D. I see you, Miss Jane. I see you, Miss Smith. Here's what we're going to do. I'm hearing Clinton rhetoric, you know, which is, you know, let's try to be civil and let's try to be above the fray.
Right.
People are like, man, ain't no fray. I'm going all in.
Right.
I'm bringing a gun to the knife fight. Right. I absolutely am. And I'll shoot everybody on sight. I'm spinning the block 15 times and you're trying to have a conversation.
Well, I think it's really interesting how in this space, different voices are emerging and new voices like Eric Benet out of nowhere has begun blogging and posting. Yeah. And the things he's saying are resonating with people because he's just a black man with his OG hat tilted, just talking about what he sees. And, you know, the great deal of wisdom comes out of that kind of perspective. So I think, one, we should be excited about the fact that there are people rising up. You see different parts around the country. Many of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus, you know, boycotted last night. That's a message. A lot of what people can do is symbolic, right, until the election in November. People need to understand, even last night, Trump lost two special election seats last night. Since 2024, the Republicans are 31-0 in losing. The Democrats have not lost one single case that I can think of in a special election since 2024. So Trump is in trouble in November. In other words, it's not like the Republicans are winning. So in spite of the appearance of dominance and inevitability, when we're looking at people out there in the polls, 31-0. The Republicans have nothing to sell except those divisive issues. And as much as people are saying, I'm still riding with it, it's also gotten kind of boring and it's no longer a politics that is mobilizable, right? So here's what I think, and here's my prediction, and I think I'm right. What's going to happen in November is not a blue wave like we're seeing in Texas right now. About 150,000 more people who are Democrats registered have come out over Republicans in red Texas. But the problem that Republicans have is not a blue wave, but a red wave of Republicans staying home. Just like the Democrats did, where 10 million of Biden's voters didn't vote in 2024, Trump has demobilized and suppressed any enthusiasm for him, except amongst the worst of the worst Americans. Who's still with Trump? The worst of the worst. And although we know They make over $80,000 a year, and they're not poor white folk. They're middle-class white folk around the country. They're still the worst of the worst, and none of them can come out in public and defend their positions. They can hide behind computers and hide behind microphones and hide behind TV studios, but they're not going to go out amongst the people because the people are more concerned about things like affordability, about ICE shooting people in the streets. I think, you know, I'm not worried about November because one, 31-0 matters to me. I'm a political scientist, so I've been counting all of the midterm special elections. Trump lost in Alabama where they created a MAGA seat. He lost in Mississippi. He lost in Miami. The Miami mayor is now a Democrat. We got a sister in Detroit. Trump has been the best thing that has ever happened to the Democrats politically, the leadership, like Schumer. Now, they want us to just look at Trump as the scary monster and not have their own, effective agenda that could be articulated by someone. Maybe Gavin Newsom, but I think more appropriately, it should be Bashir from down in Kentucky. And the only way you're going to win as a Democrat, national elections, if you go back to Jimmy Carter in 76, then you got Bill Clinton in 92, then you got Joe Biden in 2000 and in 2020. All of those are Southern Democrats. The only one right. That's not out of the last five Democrats to win was Obama from Illinois. But so if you want to win, you're not going to get a white man from California unless he's Reagan. If you want to win from you got to go to Kentucky and get Bashir and put Gavin Newsom under him. But Gavin Newsom can't be at the top of the ticket because he's messing up too. He's in the news talk too. Cornel West went after him yesterday.
Dr. James Taylor, I want to come back to what I said in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 31 seats were lost, the MAGA folks lost 31 seats.
Right.
Great. We have a guy that just had a Supreme Court ruling that basically said you can't sue the post office for holding your ballots or not delivering your mail in a timely fashion. We have a ruling that says that went in effect that said your mail-in ballots have to be in the voter address the day of the election. So they changed the way they're going to do the postmarking, right? So your letter gets postmarked when it gets to a certain facility, not when you drop it in the mail. That's huge. Nobody's addressing that. And that's on his watch. That's what I mean by distraction. We still don't know what has happened with all those ballots they took from Georgia.
Right.
That's on his watch.
Right.
We're not talking about that. We have him putting J.D. Vance in charge of voter fraud. So in charge of fraud. Well, voter fraud and just fraud in general. Right. So what we're seeing in Minneapolis with ICE, the pretense of that was fraud. What the seeds that are being planted in California is fraud around the homelessness. And you know what? There's a lot of people who look like me and you who are on the ground saying there's a lot of fraud and homelessness. So you know what? They may actually cheer if they see some of the folks who are Democrats, being hauled off in handcuffs, because those are the ones that are exasperating the homeless thing here. Not on top of the fact that gentrification and all these other things is on their watch right here.
And there are two major scandals in San Francisco in the black community right now, where one sister just got, convicted of embezzlement. Now we have another well-known case that I won't talk about that is hanging over our heads in black San Francisco. So you're right. The table that has been set for some of this claim of corruption.
But I still want to come back to what ultimately seems to be on the table, which is with the expansion of ICE, who, by the way, have lowered their standards for getting in, so they removed the training. So folks who, they don't talk about the Constitution, they don't talk about use of force policies, they're just hiring you and giving you the marching orders. And so they're not being trained around that. Discretion, de-escalation, all that is out the window. I say there isn't going to be an election in the midterms. And I think a lot of folks are hinging their bets on that. And sure, you know, it doesn't take too much to vote here in Cali, but it will in some other place where you've been gerrymandered or you only have one polling place for, you know, for a million people and all that other stuff that they've been doing all throughout the country. So what is the contingency plan if there is no midterms? And what are the Democrats doing to make sure that at all costs that these midterms are going? Because I'm not hearing anything said with conviction or confidence in their response. But I am hearing this man kind of double down on that fraud talk, which I think will lead to the suspension of these elections.
But we're dealing with incompetence. We're dealing with what, there's a word I wish everybody knew called cacistocracy. It's the rule of the rule of the worst people in their own self-interest. That's what we have. The Republicans have been the minority party for about 30 years now. They have very carefully outmaneuvered Democrats in terms of gerrymandering and redistricting. But now Gavin Newsom shows that we can play the game too. So like you said, play by the old rules. Well, Gavin Newsom with Prop 50 here in California threw out the rules. Maryland threw out the rules. Virginia threw out the rules. Indiana said, we're not playing the game with Trump. And Texas backfired. So these manipulations that the Republicans normally win is backfiring right now. That's why they're 31-0 in the last 2 years. I'm very confident there'll be a midterms. I don't think there's going to be anything different than what you've experienced all your life. It's the reason is this.
Okay,
the center has held. The center has always held.
I know, but you always say that, and I hear you. So walk me through this. Walk us through it, everybody.
For 10
listening.
Years. For
everybody,
10 years.
Hold on. Wait. Everybody listening, I want you to turn up the radio. I want you to move forth, you know, and you're going to walk us through this. I'm not, you know, Dr. Yeah, James Taylor, our guest. Okay, look. With the disruption of mail-in ballots, what's the solution? What are the Dems going to do? What should we be doing? And with the voter ID thing, what are the solutions to that?
My mindset goes to the fact that Black people have always outsmarted white people when they stupidly try to manipulate Black voting. All you got to do, for example, in the movie with Ava DuVernay, Selma, white folk go to the local hardware store and get a big container and put jelly beans in it. And then they tell the Black folk, count how many jelly beans are in there. Well, all we had to do was go by to the same hardware, buy the same jar, put the same marbles in it and count. So when you go vote, you know how many marbles fit in the box. We've always had to do that. The grandfather clause, that's like poll taxing. I'm convinced that they don't have the power to do what they're trying to do because they don't know how to do it effectively. America is too big. There are 50 different electoral systems. We don't have one electoral system. We got 51. So Donald Trump would have to manipulate all 51, including the most populous state, California, New York, Illinois. It's not going to happen. I have zero fear that anything is going to happen in the midterms. Why? Because Minnesota, look how it played out. It didn't end up in martial law. It ended up in Trump defeat. It ended up in his little brown midget dude with the hair being humiliated and sent to Mexico or New Mexico. Now, Trump has already lost in the streets. So I don't see a big explosion coming in November where we're going to be fighting. I'm saying Lawrence Lessig and I, he's a Harvard law professor, Lawrence Lessig. And he and I were at the Commonwealth Club in dialogue. I was interviewing him for his book a few years ago. And Lessig explains in that book that there's a center for lawyers. Like, you're a professor. I'm a professor. You and I both know there's certain intangibles that come with being a professor in how you behave yourself on a daily basis, how you interact with colleagues, how you interact with students, how you relate to the university. You can't act a fool. You can't go give a lecture naked today. I can't go give a lecture with no shirt on today. We're going to be checked. So I'm saying judges, even the most outlandish judge, is always checked by their colleagues. Judges can't be radicals because other judges have the same power. So I'm 100% convinced Minnesota showed us Trump's defeat. He lost. So where's the martial law coming if you can't even win when you made Minnesota ground zero for whatever it was he was trying to do? It backfired when he had them two white people get shot in the head while defending Africans. It all blew up on Trump. And over the last 10 years, we've had to go through this sickness back and forth. But if you look at it, Trump continues to lose. Again, 31-0. So he's going to go from 31-0 to all of a sudden win in November? Nah. And we're not even convinced there was an attempted assassination on his life. Who was the boy that tried to shoot him? I can tell you Lee Harvey Oswald. I can tell you who James Earl Ray is. I can tell you who Hinckley was, who tried to shoot Reagan. How come we don't know the name of the man that tried to kill the modern president? Because it was a fraud on the country. We don't believe in that. And so, again, everything Trump is doing is busyness, but he's losing. He's busy. And in political science, we call it active positive, active negative. Passive okay. positive, passive negative. So an active negative president is like Richard Nixon and Donald Trump. They're very busy, but they're negative in their worldview. The opposite would be someone like JFK, you know, who had a positive outlook on his job and what he was doing as president. Trump has a very negative view of the presidency of the Constitution. So what I'm trying to say is that, we've had a long, a track of presidents, and Trump is an active negative president, which means he's very busy and has a negative worldview. But ultimately, it comes to nothing. Donald Trump is on the decline, and I'm convinced that we're almost over the immediate Trump period. Then the question is what comes up after with these
Well, that was going to be my next question. We're talking with Dr. James Taylor, looking back at last night's State of the Union address. I come back to Trump being the distraction. I'm looking at the responses, and I'm not hearing a lot of conversation about J.D. Vance. You know what else I'm not hearing? I'm not hearing any mention of Stephen Miller, who probably wrote most of those executive orders, right? And who is pioneering or quarterbacking a lot of the ICE stuff. I'm not hearing those names. I'm not hearing about the influence of Peter Thiel, right? A South African who is, whose system of surveillance we're using. I'm not hearing a lot of talk about the influence Netanyahu and homeboy from the ADL and all those other folks, the outsized influence that they have. We're not even hearing, I didn't hear if he talked about, the new gods. I know he talked about the Middle East, but I don't even think we're having enough conversation about what's happening in Iran, you know? So to me, there seems to be, I know he was moving the needle so we don't talk about, but then the follow-up needs to be, from the Dems, the Clinton Dems, and there's a lot of Clinton Dems. Abigail, who gave the response, is a Clinton Democratic. You know, make no mistake about it. I mean, I'm glad she won, but I'm very clear that, yeah. We went from the wolf to the fox. She's still a carnivore.
Right. Right.
But it's a carnivore I could deal with.
Right.
So I make no illusions of that. But you didn't have, folks who are raising these questions that I am, because, and there's a lot of folks. I'm not some smart genius. It's like there's a political wing, a very large political wing, that's asking the same questions. And that was not addressed.
Right. I'll tell you this. If Trump is winning, here's what I mean by the center holds. Everybody thought the tariffs were a foregone conclusion. And then all of a sudden, 3 days ago, the Supreme Court said the tariffs are the president's reach beyond congressional authority. Congress has the power to tax, not the president. And the tariffs are a tax on the people. So again, if Trump is winning, who's losing? Because he just lost his signal legislation that defines everything about his policies. So again, I look at Peter Thiel, I look at Musk, I realize Musk is being called to the carpet in Europe. A lot of this Epstein stuff is being taken up in Norwegian country, in Norway. You have it in Australia. We've seen Prince Andrew go down. You know, if America won't do right and expose the Epstein scandal, European countries are doing it. And it does go back to Israel. And Israel has lost whatever moral standing Israel had that goes back to the 1940s has been spent since October 7th. The polling shows Israel is no longer what it was 20 years ago. People are no longer afraid to criticize Israel openly for fear of being called anti-Semitic because Israel's policies are demonic. What it has done to the Palestinians, if you've ever heard of Israeli children talk about Palestinians, the devil comes out of the Israeli as soon as you ask them to say anything human about a Palestinian. Demons come out of these people. I've watched it with little kids. I watched something yesterday with four girls who were 13, 14. The interviewer asked them about Israeli children, about Palestinian children being affected by the bombing. And they were like, kill, kill, kill. Only one girl showed any shame. The rest were laughing and said, murder them, cut their heads off. And they were serious. These are little kids. So this is deep hatred on the other side of chosenness. If you're chosen, in fact, the most effective person this week is Tucker Carlson in his conversation with the former governor Huckabee. And when he went to the Bible and they started talking about, you know, the land of Israel. The Middle East region. And Huckabee said, Israel can have the whole region. That's what Huckabee said. The Bible says all of it. All of the Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Pakistan, it might as well say India. All of them, Mike Huckabee said, are subject to Israeli encroachment if Israel decides God gave them that piece of land. And that's not sustainable. So again, Israel is losing. Netanyahu is losing. In America right now, Kamala Harris, the postmortem is, if she had been more critical, and I don't know why she wasn't, she saw how Netanyahu came and disrespected Obama when Obama was president and gave a speech before Congress, and she didn't have no chip on her shoulder from that. She should have been mad just from that. But see, the Democratic coalition has the second strongest block of voters other than blacks in the Democrats are Jews. So American Jews, not Israelis, American Jews are the number two voting group constituency in the Democratic Party. The New Deal coalition has always been fractured. And with Farrakhan and Black Power over the last 50 years, first Black Power, then Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson, with Jesse's campaign, especially the first one, it exposed that there was a deep tension between blacks and Jews in the Democratic Party. And now that the Jews have this influence in terms of the party apparatus, and the blacks are the foot soldiers and some of the CPC.
Yeah, but we have a distinction though, because there's a lot of progressive Jews that right. aren't buying into that. So we got to be careful in noting that. So there's a split even there, mm-hmm. right? You have Zionist Jews and you have progressive Jews that right. I think we've seen in a lot of movement spaces that have been very critical. So I think, you know, so my point is this. You look out at your electorate and you weren't able to tell the difference between, say, you know, Jewish Voices for Peace versus AIPAC. You couldn't see those people. You couldn't say, oh, okay, this is tied to big money and dastardly policies. And this group of people is tied to, you know, progressivism, right. humanity, and right. things that we say we value. That's a big miss. Right. And that, to me, is irresponsible. You got to be able to tell the difference the same way that I would expect somebody to say there's a difference between Dr. Taylor and Hakeem Jeffries. Right. There's a difference between David D. and Clarence Thomas. Right. There's a difference between Jasmine Crockett and what's her name? Candace Owens.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And at this point, if we don't have that nuance, shame on us. It demands that we have that and that we clearly understand, you know, who's coming to the party with who, and you act accordingly. And so right. there should have been enough evidence and enough vision to say, Oh, okay. Yeah, there's some folks. I'll just use the word conservative and left-leaning, right? There's enough conservative folks there, but it's counted by these left-leaning folks. Let me lean into the left. And you didn't do that. You leaned into the right. And that right has been very clear. We're supportive of the policies that's going on in the White House, you know, create a new Gaza, all this crazy stuff,
Right.
right? And to try and dance with that sort of devil, you know, is worse than pandering.
Right.
It's just blind and irresponsible. And you know, you deserve to lose in that regard.
Right.
Because if we can tell the difference, and you know, we're in those spaces where people make it clear, then why didn't you know the difference? You know, whether it's Chuck Schumer or whoever, even in the response, they should have known the difference.
Right. Well,
That's
I
just
think
my thought on it.
even last night they had three different Democrat oriented responses. The progressives had their own State of the Union address response. And, you know, again, when you're talking about the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, that's Bernie. That's
Right.
Jane Kemp in San Francisco. That's Mamdani in New York. So and in Seattle, the Seattle mayor.
Right.
So the DSA is the progressive wing, and most of it is Jewish intellectually in America. And going back to New York at the street level, there is an ethnic dynamic to these tensions, and it goes back to Jesse and the comments he made in '84, and to Farrakhan, that has sort of undermined that coalition. But I agree with you. There's as much in play between the different wings of the Democratic Party as there are again across parties. So it, you know, it seems to me that the progressive wing, you know, has been challenging the centrist wing. But that's been going on, you know, for about since 1992, almost 25 years. So now, you know, with Mamdani and Bernie and AOC, you know, you don't have to be ashamed to be a DSA anymore. But
Right.
the Democratic centrists still rule the party through people like Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer. And that's going to be, in other words, there has to be a civil war within the Re Democratic Party ideologically before I think we can see any headway being made around policy issues.
As we close out, with that being said, you still think that there will be a victory on the Democratic side in the midterm?
Massively, massively. In fact, right now, there's a scandal in Texas where a woman took her own life last week because she was involved with a congressman named Gonzalez. He's being forced to resign sometime soon as they continue to expose the affair. That would actually tilt the balance before the election in November, where Trump could be impeached in March. I'm convinced Donald Trump will be impeached this time next year, next January, February, after the election, after the holidays, as soon as the new year launches off. I'm convinced this time next year we will be in impeachment hearings. That's my prediction. The midterms are going to be devastating. You look, sitting presidents, Obama in 2010, Trump in 18. Again, Trump has been president before and didn't work no miracle in the midterms. He got beat with a record setback, just like Obama. So the sitting president automatically loses 25 seats in Congress when they're governing in the midterms. That's automatic. Then you got a bunch of people who already are resigning, like Marjorie Taylor Greene. So the Republicans are in deep, deep trouble. They can't cheat themselves into power in the midterm. It would be okay in the history of American politics in the last 80 years, two men have gained seats in the midterm. Bill Clinton, because they impeached him, and the country said, don't impeach him. They said, censor him and move on. That's where moveon.org came from. Move on, right? Censor him and move on. The other one was George Bush. After 9/11, the people stood with Bush. Those are the only two presidents in recent memory, Bill Clinton and George Bush, who gained seats. Nobody else does. And there's no crisis right now that's unifying the country behind Trump, unless, like you say, he might try to manufacture one. But we're all tired of Iran. You and I have been dealing with Iran since 1979 when we were kids. You don't give a damn about Iran. Trump took Obama's Iran agreement, ripped it up, and is now ready to go to war because he ripped it up. The insanity of right now. So again, believe that the center holds. I believe that the tug, the pull back and forth between left and right and further left and further right bring us back to the middle. And I'm confident that Trump will suffer a devastating midterm and his presidency is over. When Obama got defeated in 2010 with the Tea Party, he won re-election, but Obama's presidency was over in 2010. He never fully recovered. He had nothing that you can talk about in 2010 outside of Cuba and trans identity, right? And Cuba has been reversed. So there's really nothing Obama did in the second term because that midterm devastated him. It was a record setback. Then Trump came 8 years later and got set back even further. So how's Trump going to go back from one of the one of the greatest midterm losers of all time to now he's going to win the midterms when all of the variables are set up against him? So I'm convinced that Trump is going to be impeached next year.
Dr. James Taylor, we appreciate you taking time out this afternoon. We could go on and on, but we're going to have to, deal with this fund drive. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David.
And we will be in the lookout, and we will have you back soon.
Thank you. Folks can find me on James Taylor 1699 on Instagram.
What's that again?
James Taylor 1699 on Instagram.
There you have it. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Perfect.
Due to unprecedented civil unrest, all forms of protest are now classified as acts of terrorism. This is not a test. This is not a test.
Coward, traitor, liar, foe, grab a tyrant by the toe. Fascist puppet show, line them up like dominoes. Never bow to a in a toupee, yelling free speech, but controlling what the news say. The Lorax called, it's time to find a new shade. RuPaul's never seen a beat that bad on Drag Race. Ain't it obvious the person in the office is a racist? Brad came in the mail, but he opposes immigration. And someone's abolita, not a foreign armed invasion. That would be the masked man reading graduation ceremonies. Unmarked vans snatching people off the street. Broken memories, 5, 10, and 14, at least.